and gentlemen, please be upstanding for the arrival of the Mayor of the City of Nelson, Councillor Bob Turner, and the Chief Executive, Mr. Calvin Tory.
Good evening. Almighty God, we beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessings upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its indigenous occupants of Kulin Nation. Council pays its respect to the Kulin Nation people, to their elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
Councillor Hardy, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Change of order to business.
Mr. Mayor, I rise to move a procedural motion that items 13 and 14 be combined on the agenda and councillors presenting for up to 3 minutes, with the Mayor possibly up to five.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey.
Can I second that, please?
We need to second that one. Procedural motion.
Yes, it needs a second.
Seconded by Councillor Bushy. All councillors in favour of the motion? I declare it carried.
Mr. Mayor, I also have a proposed change to the order of business, if that's okay. Mr. Mayor, can we move items number 1210, 1211, and 1212? Councillor Ramsey's 1212?
No, can't move 1212, just 1210 and 11.
10 and 11, please, to be the first two items in the officer's report, please.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey.
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Deputations.
We have no deputations this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Mr. Mayor, I rise to say that I have an indirect conflict of interest by way of residential community at section 78E.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
I also Councillor have Mendes. An indirect conflict of interest by way of section 78E, residential amenity.
This is relating to item 1212.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, we're having a problem with the gallery hearing now.
Well, maybe we'll speak louder into our microphones, sir.
I have a conflict with 1212.
Okay. Item number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 18th of December 2017 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. Item number 7, record of Assembly of Councillors, 18th December 2017 and 29th January 2018.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the record of Assembly of Councillors dated 18th of December 2017 and 29th of January 2018 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Moved by Councillor Medlick.
I'd like to second.
seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Correspondence inward, parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have three items under this agenda item this evening, councillors. First is a letter from Marlene Carews, who is Minister for Local Government, and it's in relation to the Palmers Road Corridor project, specifically the Westwood Drive Bridge. And I appreciate that time has somewhat overtaken this response from the Minister. And she has written, enclosing a copy of a letter received from the Honourable Richard Wynne, Minister for Planning, in relation to the correspondence that she sent to him back in September supporting the Palmers Road Corridor project, being Westwood Drive Bridge. She does note that she's pleased to hear that the project is now able to progress in a timely way, and of course councillors will be aware that that project has now commenced, albeit after quite some considerable period of delay. And she has, as it says, included a copy of the letter from the Minister. The second letter this evening is from Stephen Thomas, who's the Branch Manager, Housing Programs and Homelessness, responding in relation to a letter from Council to the Prime Minister, the Honourable Malcolm Turnbull, regarding us joining in the advocacy efforts that have been initiated through Frankston City Council with regards to homelessness in Australia. And Council's letter was referred to the Minister for Social Services, the Honourable Christian Porter, and as this matter falls within his portfolio. The response letter does detail what federal government initiatives there have been in response to the homelessness issue, most specifically details of the new $1.5 billion per annum NHHA, the National Housing and Homelessness Agreement, which provides funding from 1st of July. The letter goes on to note that although the Australian Government provides states and territories with a significant amount of funding for housing assistance and homelessness services, the states and territories decide where services are located, which service providers are funded, and how much funding each service provider receives. It's therefore suggested that Council may wish to contact the Minister for Housing, Disability and Ageing, the Honourable Martin Foley. The third letter this evening, councillors, is from the Honourable Lily D'Ambrosio, who is Minister for Suburban Development, and she writes in response to a letter from Council back in April of 2017 to the Minister for Planning and Ms. D'Ambrosio in relation to the Growth Areas Infrastructure Contribution Fund, and that letter from Council was urging the state government to expend in a more timely manner the funds that were held in the Growth Area Infrastructure Fund, or the GAIC as it's commonly referred to. We do note, subsequent to our correspondence to the Minister and subsequent to significant advocacy efforts by Council, some $28 million approximately was made available for the development of the Toolan Railway Station, which was one of the top advocacy priorities of this Council, and that funding was from the Growth Area Infrastructure Charge. And that's the correspondence items this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Item number 9, petition. Councillor Ramsey.
I would like to move the recommendation that the parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor, although slightly late, be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey.
I would like to second it.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. Is there any councillor to oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Okay, number 9. Petitions and joint letters.
There are no petitions or joint letters for consideration this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
No debate or other business carried over.
Item number 11, public question time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do have a number of public questions this evening, and the first of those is from Mr. David O'Connor, and Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. His question reads, the Vigors Rest Precinct Structure Plan proposes to include some 23 hectare of land for employment purpose. Given the rapid growth currently being experienced in Diggers Rest, would Council please make available some information indicative of how the employment node may appear, and if possible, provide some indication around estimated commencement and completion dates? Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager of Planning and Development, will respond to that question.
Thank you, David, for your question. As you rightly point out, there is a proposed employment precinct effectively at the southwestern edge of the Diggers Rest Township on the Diggers Rest Comida Road. At this stage, Council doesn't have any proposals for the development of that site, so we haven't received any proposals as to what that might look like or when indeed it might occur. Clearly, in terms of local employment opportunities, I'm sure the residents, as would Council, like to see that land developed for employment purposes in the near future, but at this stage I can't provide you any further particulars as to when that may occur. Thank you.
The second question this evening is also from Mr. O'Connor, and it reads, it is understood that the Events Strategy 2011 to 2015 is the most current. When does Council anticipate the adoption of an updated strategic document for events within the municipality? And Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager, Corporate Services, will respond.
Thank you for your question, David. There are no plans for the formal adoption of an events strategy as has previously existed. A new events policy was adopted at the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 18th of September 2017. The policy that was adopted by Council was previously endorsed by Council's Executive and was also considered and assessed by Council's Policy Review Panel. The policy is due for review no later than July the 1st, 2020. This policy includes fundamental content that would commonly be expected within a traditional strategy. The policy addresses the important role that events play in the development of communities, the range of community benefits arising from events, obviously the role of council, event management principles including safety, environmental concerns and accessibility, a range of internal responsibilities and accountabilities for the hosting and lawful conduct of council and community events. Very recently, Council also published a new community event management guide, which has been designed to assist and support event managers and community organisations in the running of public events within the municipality. It is designed to help guide community members through the steps they need to take to maximise the likelihood of running a successful event and one with minimal risk. This 50-page document really is an indispensable tool for any person or group, professional or amateur, looking to host a successful and lawful event within the City of Melton. This guide is publicly available on Council's website. Finally, it is also worth noting that Council's internal auditors, third-party independent firm Oakden, having reviewed Council's events, and in particular our processes and systems, reported to Council's Executive in November of last year that, and I quote, the major external events sample were being run by the events team in accordance with the events management framework and industry best practice. So while we no longer have a public event strategy as we did leading up to 2015, events occurring for which Council has a responsibility are still very much defined and delivered in a strategic and professional manner. I'll be more than happy to provide you with both a copy of the policy and the new events guide in the written response that I'll provide you to this question. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. The next question is from S. Kesney, I believe, who's in the gallery. I might just point out at this point, the next three questions submitters have each submitted questions that have two parts, and they're all around the same subject. So in the interests of efficacy, I propose to read out all of the questions and then have Mr. Shannon provide a single response, because otherwise there'll be a fair amount of duplication. So there is Mr. Casmi, Mark Evans, okay, is also in the gallery, and Gerald Evans is also in the gallery. So from Mr. Casmi, question one. Council has the ability to approve a development plan for the subject site in isolation from the remainder of the original subdivision area. I point out these questions all relate to an item in the council agenda, which is considering a multi-lot development in Caroline Springs. So for those of you who wish to follow. However, we say that such a development plan approval would be incongruous with the intention schedule 1 to the DPO, which seeks to control the development and neighbourhood character over all of Melton East, not just the subject site. It was Council's own review of this development plan overlay in October 2015 that recommended the DPO be removed from the subject site, primarily due to the fact that the area is now completely developed with the exemption of the subject site. We ask, where is this standing today, and why is Melton Council and the Planning Department backflipping on an already discussed and recommended stance? And furthermore, why now in 2018 this recommendation has not been applied or the application questioned? Surely if this was identified in 2015, then why is it not being applied to the Grange estate for this and any other potential application, as this will surely open the floodgates as there are other non-developed and overlooked and forgotten sites within our estate? The second question is, the closure of such a loophole within the development plan overlay should have occurred in 2015-16, as recommended by Council, to stop any circumnavigating of the planning process and would have stopped any multi-dwelling development in the Grange estate. The standard requirement to notify neighbours and other affected parties, advertise and provide appeal rights for an application to develop the land with two dwellings in the general residential zone should be applied. The above concerns provide significant weight to our position as a residential ratepayer and homeowner, and I remain hopeful Melton Council will see fit to refuse any such application to approve a development plan on the subject site and notify the permit applicant that their proposal is not in accordance with any previously approved development plan. This would result in Melton Council and the current owner of number 23 Vintage Way to publicly notify and ignite third-party review rights like any other dual occupancy application within a residential zone to the neighbouring dwellings and homeowners of the Grange estate. The questions from Mr. Mark Evans on the same subject matter read, the current configuration and title boundaries as per the original proposed subdivision plan and covenant have been developed by all homeowners as per the requirements and guidelines stipulated by the developer accordingly in the Grange estate. We were all advised that construction was to commence and be completed within a 12-month period and the purchase of land in 2011-12. We ask our Melton Council and you, the councillors who represent us, can justify the approval and support of a varied proposal for additional lots as proposed at number 23 Vintage Way that are above and beyond the original approved development plan for Grange Estate. Any creation of additional lots cannot be said to be in accordance with the previously approved development plan, and as a result of this non-compliance and exemption for notice and review provided at clause 43.04-2 cannot be applied. All homeowners and families have developed their lots as per the original guidelines in accordance with all subdivisional aspects as per when all lots were released and purchased. We as a community believe it is the responsibility of Melton Council to support and enforce the original approved development plan and ask that in their decision making they think of how they would feel knowing that if they purchased in the supposed jewel of Caroline Springs and invested over $1 million in land and construction costs, to have all promises that were laid on the table in writing to be ignored and to have life savings devalued due to multi-dwelling development. Part 2. Whilst the Town Planning Department provide support towards this said application? What is Melton Council's and your view on issuing a proposed development that triggers traffic concerns due to the orientation of the dwellings and the site on a narrow corner, visual amenity bulk to surrounding dwellings of Vintage Way and the Grange Estate, and to dwellings across Coroit Creek, excessive number of bedrooms which outnumbers what any home has within Vintage Way Loop, which triggers density concerns, removal of established street trees, which has already been a subpar planning program as promised by the developer and council, a development that is not in keeping with the neighbourhood character of single dwellings per lot. Unit development sites had already been marked throughout Caroline Springs, and this area is not one of them. A potential development that will devalue dwellings due to the type of development in the Grange. The proposal of a double vehicle crossover that is not located anywhere in the estate, insufficient street setback to the dwelling and garages will pose visual bulk and car parking issues for the occupiers if the dwellings are built. Reduced setback result in lack of landscaping provisions and inaccurate information provided on the plans raises concerns of clear and accurate decision to be made by the planning department. Question marks. Under any normal standard planning application, these would be addressed under the advertising process, as should be the case in this application, and then furthermore by VCAT if required. The third questions from Mr. Gerald Evans read, the commencement on the site of a single dwelling structure occurred in 2013-14 and ceased once the builder sold the site. We believe this provides ample weight to the fact that the original development plan was being followed and was to be completed in accordance. This is of main concern as there are other sites that have not been completed or developed as per the original subdivision plan, and others may follow the same pathway of either demolishing their own dwellings and constructing multiple lots and or applying for planning permits to on-sell. Do you, our councillors, have the same view or standing? And the second element of the question is council aware of its own recommendations in 2015 that concluded this DPO should be removed and that the retention of the DPO, Development Plan Overlay, leaves open a loophole for a developer to avoid third-party notification and review rights? Given that council has not acted on the 2015 recommendations, do you think it is reasonable to 1) refuse the application, 2) immediately seek to remove the offending DPO from the Melton Planning Scheme, thus triggering our right to be involved in this application? So Mr. Shannon will provide a response in relation to all those items.
Thank you very much for your questions. I'll do my best to work through each of the key issues that you've raised and attempt to answer them as best I can, and I'll also follow up in writing the answer I provide you tonight. Just by way of background for all those present tonight, the development plan overlay was actually introduced by council in the mid-1990s across the whole Eastern Corridor, and I'm sure you're aware of some of the background. The reason for that was to try and provide guidance as to the layout and the presentation effectively of the whole growth corridor, because back in the early to mid-90s, Caroline Springs, Taylors Hill, those suburbs didn't actually exist. It was largely open paddocks. The intention of the development plan overlay, or the DPO, was to provide a framework to facilitate high-quality development, and the DPO applied to the whole corridor and then in turn into smaller pockets, particularly within the Caroline Springs precinct. As you rightly point out, council has in much more recent times, and this is due to the fact that largely the corridor is now pretty much fully developed. There are still some vacant lots, but it's largely fully developed. Council has resolved to seek to amend the planning scheme to remove the DPO from the planning scheme. That's a significant process because there's around about 20,000 properties affected, and to amend the planning scheme, it has to be publicly exhibited, an independent panel hearing, and further council deliberations. I'm not in a position right now to tell you exactly where that amendment's at. However, when I write to you, I'll get an update from council officers and bring up to date as to exactly where that amendment to the planning scheme is. But as I've indicated, it is a significant amendment and requires a significant amount of work to implement it. Notwithstanding that, however, the provisions of the planning scheme, and particularly a document called RES code, which is a state government code that applies to these types of developments, applies to this site. So the fact that there's still a development plan overlay on this site, whilst it does provide some exemptions, which I'll talk about in a moment, the development still must comply with res code. Council must still consider issues such as neighbourhood character, setbacks, existing development in the surrounding precinct, and they'll do that tonight when they consider the item at 12.11. The DPO, as you've correctly pointed out, does provide some exemptions, and that particularly relates to the requirement for the applicant to formally give notice of the application or to advertise it. Notwithstanding the fact that they are technically exempt, council has still advertised it, and as you'll see in the council agenda, we've received 7 objections, and council will consider each of those tonight, informing their decision. The issue you raise in relation to the covenant is also relevant. A covenant is effectively a private contract between individual landowners within an estate. So in the case of this estate, that's the Caroline Springs estate that was developed by Lendlease Communities over the last 15 years, or Delphin Lendlease as most people know them. The covenant was imposed by the developer to try and set some expectations in terms of how quickly people started developing their sites, but also in terms of the built form. And as you pointed out, and as the council report presents, there was initially a single dwelling covenant on this property and in the surrounding neighbourhood. At that time, Lendlease, in introducing the covenant, included what's known as a sunset clause. So in other words, the covenant was actually only valid for 10 years, at which point the covenant ceased to exist, and the situation we now find ourselves in is there's no covenant over the site, the land is vacant. As you're aware, a development did commence on the site some years ago, however that never proceeded. So I hope I've covered most of the issues that you've sought to raise. As I said, I'll write to you with more details, particularly in terms of the status of the amendment, and as I pointed out, council will consider in significant detail the issues that I've spoken about in terms of neighbourhood character, the objections raised, all the requirements of res code, as they would with any other development application, regardless of the fact that there's a development plan overlay over the site or not. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Sean. Presentation of staff reports.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that items 12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12.6 and 12.16 be moved in block and that officer's recommendation be accepted as per the reports.
Moved by Councillor Millett.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. We're going to move on to 12.10, as requested earlier. Plan application PA 2017/5835/1, sale of Christmas decorations and Christmas themed products. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This planning application relates to the Melton Christmas Tree Farm, which is located off Leakes Road in Plumpton. Essentially, the front portion of the land contains two large colourbond sheds, an extensive Christmas tree plantation, and a large gravel car park, which is located at the front of the site. Essentially, the application is similar to a previous application which was considered by council in February last year, and that application was not supported by council and a notice of refusal was issued. This previous application is the subject of a current VCAT appeal, which is scheduled for a practice day hearing fairly soon on the 16th of February. So the only difference between this application, the new application and the previous application, is the inclusion of a Christmas light display use. So essentially the use that's being proposed will occupy an existing colourbond shed located near the south boundary of the subject land, and no other works are to be undertaken on the land. The market that's being proposed will involve the sale of hand and commercially made Christmas decorations and Christmas-themed products, which will be sold in conjunction with the sale of Christmas trees, which currently takes place on the site. The market is to be held once a week on Sundays between the months of September and December each year. The existing gravel car park, which I mentioned, which is located at the front of the site, can accommodate about 80 to 100 car parking spaces, which is considered suitable for the use. And the Christmas light display will be held between the 23rd of November to the 23rd of December each year, 7 days a week, from 7pm to 10pm. So, Mr. Mayor, the application was advertised and one objection was received to the application. The grounds of objection can basically be summarised as concerns about the level of traffic and safety issues on Leakes Road, the unreasonable impacts on nearby properties from an amenity perspective, concerns about gravel and dirt being deposited on the road by people visiting the site, loss of property values, and the proposal will adversely impact on the rural living and agricultural uses in the area. Essentially, Mr. Mayor, notwithstanding the fact that the previous application was refused by council, from an officer perspective, it's considered that the proposal is essentially complementary with the existing rural living and agricultural uses in the surrounding area, and including the non-rural uses, the number of quarries and other commercial uses in the area. It's considered that the proposal will not adversely affect the visual amenity of the area, as the market will be operating from one of the existing sheds, and no new buildings or works are proposed as part of the application. So essentially it's considered that the use is a reasonable use given the seasonal nature of the proposed market, the limited hours of operation for the proposed market, and the utilisation of the existing shed on the land. So it's therefore recommended, Mr. Mayor, that the application be supported and a notice of decision to grant a permit be issued in accordance with the recommendation in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification?
Just one question, Councilor Mr. Mayor. The only sole objector has only just moved into the property across the road in the last 12 months. Would that be roughly accurate?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure about that. I know who the objector is, but I'm not aware of how long he's been
there. I believe they've been there less than 2 years, so they fully knew what they were buying into. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Can I move it for the motion, please?
Mr. Mayor, I rise to move this application.
So he's moved by Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to second it.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich.
Thank
Does
you.
Any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I call a division, please?
You certainly can. Division called. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Ibushi. Declare the motion carried. I did first. We'll move on to item 12.11.
Mr. Mayor, sorry, Mr. Mayor, with your indulgence, can I have just a minute to speak? If that's okay, not even a minute.
I should have been quicker, Councillor Ramsey, but carry on.
Can I just say this application has come before us on a number of occasions. The development out there has been nothing short of sensational. Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes and Councillor Carley, especially us who took a ride on the back of tractor to have a look at the whole entirety of the farm, and I just want to commend the proponents and wish them well in the future.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Item 12.11. Mr. Baggio, PA 2017-5857, development of two double-storey dwellings at 23 Vintage Way, Carling Springs.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is an application for two double-storey dwellings on a vacant block of land of 673 square metres, which is located on a bend on Vintage Way in Caroline Springs. So the lot is within a largely established residential estate, which is known as the Grange Estate. As we heard before, the land has a has the footings of a dwelling, a single dwelling that was previously partially constructed on the land and has since been demolished. So as I mentioned before, the application is to develop two double-storey dwellings on the land. The dwellings are considered to have a contemporary design with a range of external wall and roof materials. It's noted that an existing street tree is to be removed to facilitate the proposed crossover to one of the dwellings. However, the owner's indicated that that he's prepared to replace that particular tree with a number of new semi-mature trees. The dwellings will be essentially detached, with only the garage of dwellings 1 and 2 being located along the property boundaries. As was indicated before, the land or the area was affected by a restrictive covenant. However, that particular covenant expired in June 2015, and the covenant, amongst other things, restricted the number of dwellings on a on a block of land to a single dwelling. So the application was informally advertised to neighbouring landowners, and 7 objections were received to the application. The grounds of objection were mainly around that the proposed development is not respectful of the neighbourhood character, that the design is not site responsive, concerns about off-site impacts such as increase in traffic and car parking, the fact that people bought into the area because there was a restrictive covenant relating to only allowing single dwellings, that the approval of the proposal would set a precedent for more of this type of development in the area, concerns about the removal of the existing street tree, and concerns about overshadowing of the secluded private open space and habitable room windows of an adjoining dwelling to the south. So from an officer perspective, it's considered that the proposed development is generally respectful of the character of the area, although in terms of density, it's a more intense development than what's in the area. But the scale and architectural form of the proposed dwellings is considered to be respectful of the character. It's also considered that the proposal is appropriate because the subject land is within the general residential zone, which is suitable for incremental housing growth. As I mentioned before, the scale and bulk of the proposed dwellings is considered to be generally in keeping with the surrounding area. Adequate areas have been retained as garden landscape visible from the street, which is a common characteristic in the neighbourhood. And the amount of side fencing along Vintage Way is limited to only the fence associated with the private open space of Dwelling 1. So therefore, Mr. Mayor, it's considered the proposal, as I mentioned before, is generally in keeping with the area and essentially complies with most of the standards of ResCode. So therefore, the recommendation is that the application be supported and the planning permit be issued. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any council require further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, through you, does the applicant have any appeal rights to VCAT should councillors not accept officer's recommendation?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, in the event that that the council refused the application, the applicant would have appeal rights to VCAT.
I've got two quick questions, and even though it's not my ward, and I'm sure the ward councillors are supportive of an alternative, when the developer sets expectations and a covenant's valid for 10 years, it was a single-storey dwelling. Why wasn't that enforced at that time? And why are we now in 2018 and there's a vacant block of land that seems to have been land banked? That's question number one. And question number two, has the applicant either written or met with the objectors to discuss their concerns? Do we know if there's been any meetings or any communication taking place from the applicant to the objectors?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to the first question, I think you mentioned that the covenant was a single story covenant. No, it was a single dwelling covenant.
A single dwelling, sorry.
Yeah. And so, hence the reason why there's only single dwellings in the area at this stage. But then, as I mentioned before, because the covenant expired in 2015, it no longer applies, so therefore an application...
Why was this block of land let to go? Because, I mean, most people that, buy, and through you, Mr. Mayor, when they buy within an estate, especially with the developer, they've got, like, within 2 years you've got to start building, you've got to have this sort of fence and this sort of roof and this sort of whatever else. It's a single-storey dwelling. Why was this block of land enabled to escape the detection to now after the covenant sunset clause has kicked in? People who have invested in the area have all built single-storey houses, done what they've been good little boys and girls and done what they've been told, and now there's a block of land and all of a sudden we're going to try and fit in a double story or two of them.
Yeah. For you, Mr. Mayor, I don't unfortunately have a copy of the covenant with me. However, just looking at the summary of the covenant in the report, it mentions that the covenant restricts the number of dwellings or restricted the number of dwellings on a lot, restricted the construction of a granny flat, limited subdivision of the land, restricted certain types of construction works and prevented the erection of certain types of external structures. It doesn't actually indicate, at least in this summary, that there was some sort of restriction in terms of the time to actually construct a dwelling on the land, so I'm not aware that that was a requirement, but I could be wrong.
And the second question in regards to the applicant contacting the...
I'm not aware of the applicant
contacting
the objectors.
All right. Does any other council require any further clarification?
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Bushy.
Can I just ask, just out of curiosity and just to make an informed decision and understand some of the background. There was mention that there is existing foundation slab on there. Do we know, is it the same applicant that began that work? If not, or if we do have the information, do we know what the intention of the owner was when that, because I understand it's been quite a bit of time since when that foundation was laid and now we have this come before us.
For you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not aware if it's the same owner or not, but obviously the intention of the previous owner, if there was to construct a single house on the property. But it wasn't, obviously wasn't completed. As far as I know, the walls were partly constructed and have since been essentially demolished.
If there's no more clarification, can I move it to the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move a notice of motion that Council issue a notice of refusal to grant a permit on the following grounds. One, the density and form of the proposed development is excessive and fails to respect or complement the neighbourhood character of the area. Two, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives and standards of the Res Code pursuant to Clause 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with respect to neighbourhood character. Three, the proposal fails to respond to the constraints of the subject land. In particular, the proposal in its current form will result in the removal of an existing tree on Vintage Way. And four, the proposal is considered to be overdevelopment of the site, in particular the combination of the double-storey building elements, minimal separation between the dwellings, mass and visual bulk of the dwellings creates the impression that the proposed dwellings are being squeezed into the subject land. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. We have an alternate motion on the table, moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Kissich. Does any councillor oppose the alternate motion? All those in favour of the alternate motion? I declare the motion carried.
May I ask for a division, please?
Division is called by Councillor Medlick. All those in favour of the motion, the alternate motion, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kissich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Ibushi, Councillor Turner. Declare the motion carried. Item 12.4 on the agenda. Sponsored notice of motion 515 sports grounds under 18 residents. I believe it's you, Molly. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, this was an item that was raised some time ago at an ordinary meeting of the council. It relates to notice of motion 515, and it was tabled by Councillor Mendez at the time. It's taken some time to collate the information, and I apologise for that, but we wanted to give you the most accurate information as we can, because it is a very complicated notice of motion, so if I can just work you through it. The notice of motion that was tabled at the time was that officers prepare a report to consider providing a local sports grant per quarter for each ward based on specific criteria to cover uniform and fees for residents below the age of 18 to allow them to participate in their chosen sport, was the notice of motion the way it was tabled and, of course, supported by the council. Just working you through the report, councillors, what we've tried to give you is the number of 5 to 18-year-olds, so not necessarily 0 to 18, but 5 to 18-year-olds, because that's where sport participation actually commences. And the population, even if you look at the chart on table 47, of somewhat those participants in the city at the moment of 31,500, and I suppose we're trying to give you an example of how that projection is going to accelerate over the forthcoming years, which is quite dramatic. We then, over the page on page 48, also pulled out some census data that gives you the 5 to 18-year-old population estimates as per ward. So we've tried to focus on the notice of motion of per ward to give you the allocated numbers, and actually broken that down to a percentage, which is, surprisingly enough, pretty consistent. The most important part, I suppose, is the second table on that, and this is the one that has taken quite a amount of time to get the information out of our sporting bodies and peak sporting bodies. So this is information provided to us of participation. Again, we've broken that up to the municipality numbers. We have broken it up per ward, as you can see, to give you the numbers of participation. We haven't give you the sum 80 or 90 sports, so but we'll give you the high usage sports in the city at the moment. And as you can see, there's 7 of those sports with very high participation right across the 3 wards. And remember, we're talking from 5 to 18 years of age. And even within that table, that represents 269 clubs in that table referenced above. And there's another 33 clubs that are registered. So you can see how complicated it's been trying to collate the information up per ward, etc. We've also asked in the notice of motion to try and put forward a criteria. And on page 48, we'll give you an example of, this is our suggested criteria of applications that are accepted, obviously, between the age of 5 and 18 years of age only. And obviously that would have to be accessed and would have to be submitted by a parent or guardian, and we're suggesting have a current healthcare or pension card, and providing the name of the young person, i.e. 5 to 18. We're saying the applicant must be located in the municipality and be a resident, and that information has to be provided, and the most important part has to be part of a relevant sports club based in the Melton municipality. The process even gets quite a bit more complicated, and we'll give you some suggestions on the top of the page of the agenda on 49 And the most important part of that is we're saying that if applications were processed, need to be processed, we think, as officers, as a suggestion, as part of Council's existing grants program. We're saying that the club would have to be a partner with us, and the club would invoice Council for a rebate, if you like, or a subsidy on behalf of that young person. Another information, of course, is we would only have one grant per annum per young person, and it would be an approved subsidy to cover associated sports registration and fees as worded in the notice of motion. And again, only one application per participant per financial year. We've given an example of 300 participations or kids participating in sport, and we've used an example of $30,000, for example. We're not saying $30,000 per ward, we're saying $30,000 for our young people to apply for a subsidy, which would equate, as an example in this, at about $100 each, if successful. We're saying that would be managed out of our current residential achievement donations fund, which at the minute is $20,000, and $30,000 is suggested. It could be anything. The issue with this, councillors, is it's a very complicated notice of motion, and the harder complication in this, when you look at the risk, is we think as officers we'd need to cap. We're suggesting 300. It could be 800. It could be 900 applicants. So we're suggesting that officers would have to work out a method of capping the 300. Now, whether that's 300 first in best dressed over the term of the sport or different seasons of the sport even gets more complicated. We haven't gone with a suggestion of a grant per ward. For obvious reasons, it's very hard and complicated to manage. So the recommendations, councillors, you can see how complicated it is due to the unknown, I suppose, number of applicants, and we don't know if it would be 300, to be honest. It could be more, it could be less. And the unknown future financial contribution that council might make, they might have it remain at 30,000. And we're just giving you an example of how the progression in numbers are going to accelerate and accelerate quite quickly right through the municipality. From that point of view, we're saying that, councils, you just note the feedback, I suppose, or the report in response to Councillor Mendez's notice of motion 515. From an officer's point of view, due to the notice of motion and the unknown annual financial implications to council based on forward growth and sport participation in the risks outlined in the report, we're suggesting not to support it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heen. Does any councillor require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Mayor.
I've got a few concerns as it currently stands now. As Mr. Heaney mentioned, the unknown factors in the in this notice of motion. I do support the spirit of the notice of motion, so I think it's a good idea, and I think it needs further development to consider probably a few more options available to council. For example, the applications to be processed as part of council's existing grant program. That means that councillors will have to, well, councillors are part of that grant program, and I myself would feel uncomfortable to process applications that are on, particularly applicants that are on healthcare cards. I don't know what I would base that decision on. Like, I would feel uncomfortable. I wouldn't have... I guess the merit of that is quite tricky. So I'm just voicing my opinion that I do think that this is a great idea. I just think that it needs to be worked a little bit more by the mover of the motion, and I hope they take that on board.
Thank you, Councillor Midler. Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. I have been informed that the mover of the motion was approached by residents and clubs alike, both in her ward of Watts Ward and also Cambridge Ward in the Eastern Corridor, which brought it to Councillor Mendez's attention that the City of Brimbank do just that. Have we been able as a council to contact the City of Brimbank and find out what they do and how they distribute this grant.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, through you, Councillor Ramsay, we have been in consultation with Windbank because they do have a grant scheme that they manage. They're very heavily engaged with the clubs, so they're relying on the clubs, as you've got some of that flavour in this information, to work with the clubs, because the clubs are really the ones that know their kids that are in need or kids that are doing it hard. So there is a grant scheme at Windbank. It's not easily managed. Some of the issues that came up in that is the privacy, which is touched on in this report, and I would be a bit cautious of having so many people review people's private documents. That just couldn't happen. So it does get quite tricky about even how we manage it. One of the options in here is obviously to manage it also. There's a resource to manage it because it is quite a very resource-intensive process, whatever way it would end up. And the other option for councils is, if council did have an appetite to proceed with this in any form or option, that we're saying that, you know, we would have to come back to the council for those guidelines for future endorsement. But yes, we have been well engaged with Brimbank. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
If I might just add, Mr. Mayor, in my discussions with the CEO from Brimbank, the information that she proffered to me was they only open applications for 2 weeks because they get that heavily subscribed, they can't manage. And if they opened it for any longer or more than once a year, it would just become more burdensome than it already is. And it's grossly oversubscribed, and the challenge is to manage that.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have one question. Mr. Torrey, you answered part of my question. But do we know how long Brimbank's actually been doing it? Is this something that they're trialling as well, or they're in the middle of trialling?
I think Brimbank has had it in place for a few years. I don't think it's a large scheme, but it's a resource-intensive scheme. But, look, the issue with Brimbank, as Mr. Torrey said, is how you manage capping it, or how you manage... you know, young people or more their parents or guardian to apply to it, because it's an unknown number is really the risk to council, I would suggest. That's why officers are saying a form of capping, you know, how that works. It's another piece of work.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make an alternative motion that we refer this item to the budget deliberations for the 2018-19 budget. And I'd like to take on board the comments from the councillors tonight, because I understand where you're coming from, and I think that... it's a great opportunity to supply a grant to our young people, and I'd love to see it take part as part of our budget deliberation.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Moved by Councillor Mendes.
Mr.
As an alternate motion.
Can I just seek clarification? Was this Councillor Mendes deleting item number 2 on that agenda?
Yes, it's an alternative motion to number 2.
So, including number 1 and adding number 2.
Deliberations for 2018-19 budget.
That would be number 2.
Yep. Sorry, Mr. Thank you, Councillor. Could I just ask for further clarification on the alternate recommendation? Does that mean that we will, because there's quite a number of different
options
for the financial consideration, so will we also be considering the different options available at that council deliberation as well?
I think Mr. Heer, Craig may be wrong, but it will be coming back to councillors to further investigate.
Yeah, look, if council determines to refer it to a budget process, it'll be in the budget papers for further dialogue, and we'll have the options, but I suppose you'd need to word it appropriately if that's...
Mm.
At the moment, we're just referring, I think, a figure to a budget.
Yeah, OK.
Yeah, that's... And remember, the 30,000 councillors is a figure that the officers thought was... reasonable, and we've based that on $100 per applicant.
But that will be discussed at the budget.
Yeah.
And Mr. Mayor, thank you. I'd like to hear from the mover, like, what would be the figure if this recommendation is going to go forward and go to budget deliberations? What is the figure she's looking at? Is it the officer's recommendation, or we're not too sure what it is at this stage?
Councillor Mendes.
I think at this stage we'd have to look at the officer's recommendation and be based on what we have available to us within the budget for the 2018-19 budget year.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. So, Councillor Mendes has moved an alternate motion. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor.
It's already been moved. Moved by Councillor Mendez, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
Sorry, Councillor Ramsey said I'd like to move the motion, and I said it's already been...
No, I'd like to second the motion.
Yeah, I was just correcting you.
It's okay. She seconded it.
I seconded it. She said moved.
Did she say move? I must have been reading.
I
apologise. Yeah, I apologise for reading her mind. Okay.
I know what she meant. It's just audio.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Moved by Councillor Mendez, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion, I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I call a division, please?
Division called by Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour of the motion, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Abushi, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. Item 12.5. Mr. Shannon, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report responds to Notice of Motion 519, which was put forward by Councillor Ramsey, and the Notice of Motion was that Council officers report on the adequacy or otherwise of toilet facilities at the Melton Bowling Club and indicate what capacity exists to address any identified need within the project scope of the current works scheduled at the club. By way of background, councillors, you'll be aware that in the current financial year, council allocated $250,000 to undertake works at the Melton Bowls Club, and those works were specifically to undertake repairs and improvements on the bowling rink, so the green itself. Those works have recently been completed at a cost of $170,000, so there was effectively a saving of $80,000 on the project, which is a good news story. The report goes on to provide some particulars as sought in the Notice of Motion regarding the current toilet facilities, and the details of the facilities are summarised at the bottom of page 51 and the top of page 52. The facilities that are provided are consistent with the Australian Building Code and standards, and the facilities are generally in quite good condition. There is no doubt, however, that at absolute peak times in the club there may well be queuing to the toilet facilities, but they are generally compliant with the Australian Building Codes. Should council wish to undertake refurbishment of the toilet facilities and in fact construct a further facility on the site, that would cost somewhere in the order of $60,000. There's obviously been no detailed design done at this point. However, $60,000 would generally be the figure that you would expect. In summary, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that Council note that the existing toilet facilities at the Bowls Club do meet the relevant standards and that they are in good condition, so effectively it's not recommended that Council invest money into the toilet facilities at this stage. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any Councillor require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Is there any way we could find out if we were to fund this, Mr. Shannon, what would actually fall off the capital works program, or will something be reshuffled? Like, do we know what that is? Would it be another block of toilets, or would it be something else?
Mr. Mayor, it's very difficult to answer that question, but I suppose the question that one would ask oneself when there is a saving on a capital project, firstly looking at what the project was originally intended to deliver, and that was, as I've mentioned, the repairs to the bowling rink, and they've been achieved within budget, in fact below budget. I guess the next question then is how does council reinvest that surplus, and typically that would go back into council's overall funding mix, and we would then consider that as part of an upcoming budget process and prioritise across all the different needs across the municipality. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any other council require any further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, I have an alternate.
Councillor Ramsey.
And the alternate is that we note the report and refer the Melton Bowling Club toilets, noting that there was an $80,000 saving, refer that to the budget 18-19.
alternate motion moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder for the alternate motion?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to second
it. Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
No, Mr. Mayor. Can I just ask for clarification? Because it's the alternate.
Yep,
I'm just a little bit confused. So will Councillor Ramsay have all of that, what the recommendation is, but just add?
No,
that had been noted, because
I'm actually deleting what the recommendation of the officers was, and I'm just saying note the report and refer this item, the Melton Bowling Club toilets, to the budget 18-19.
So there's no way that we could include that the current provision of toilet facilities of the Melton Bowling Club meets relevant building code standards? Want that removed?
I have removed that.
Okay.
Happy with that?
Yeah, the clarification, yes,
yep.
I am, yeah.
Okay, moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor require any further clarification then?
Thanks,
any councillor against the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Oh, sorry, Councillor Bougie, I missed you. Councillor Bougie against the motion. Councillor Ramsay. Yeah, that's okay. So we're going to debate. Councillor Ramsay, do you wish to say a few
words? I'll reserve my right to speak at the end.
Councillor Bush.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, I feel like the additional funding as recommended by council officers for the money to be put back into our general ledger. But more importantly, I think the Melton Bowling Club has a toilet. It's up to standard. It's working fine. It's in good condition. I think that the additional $60,000, or $80,000, should be spent elsewhere in urgent need. We've got lots of need in our community, and I think the additional money should be put in other areas.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Does any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'll have to agree with Councillor Bushy. I think if we, as a council, start this practice, there's so many projects that are happening in our municipality right across. And I think that if we come under on some of those projects, then does that mean that every single project that we come under on, we're going to look at the difference and spend it back onto that project? I think it's setting a precedent. And I have to agree with Councillor Bushy. I don't support that.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ramsay, you say a few words.
I'd like to finish up. I acknowledge both Councillor Carley and Councillor Bushy's statements, and I feel there were some valid points in both of them. But the notice of motion that I moved was a couple of months ago, and all I wanted was to amend the scope of works, because during budget submissions in previous years, the club has come before us because of the elderly number of gentlemen and ladies attending the Melton Bowling Club needing a toilet closer to their rinks. So, as a ward councillor, they also asked other ward councillors. I felt it only imperative that I ask if there was any shortfall, or if there was any money left over in the budget, could we look at moving it into a public toilet and completing that job, which council supported me unanimously. Since then, we have had a notice of motion that says we need to refer it to the budget. All I want on the books this evening is basically we note that we've received the report, there was an $80,000 savings, and the need for a toilet for these elderly residents in our community is needed, and that go up against all the other priorities in the 18-19 budget.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Does any other councillor wish to speak?
No, I've just finished up.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Ramsay, you're correct. You spoke. You had the option to speak first and you spoke last. That's fine. does any councillor oppose the motion? No, we've done that. Okay. Those in favour of the motion? Those against the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Could I please get a division, Mr. Mayor?
Division requested by Councillor Ramsey. Those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Turner. Those against the motion? Councillor Bushy, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley. I declare the motion carried. We come to item number 12.7, Melton the City for All People, 2017 to 2021, Year 1 Action Plan. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, I'll be quick with this one, as Council's already endorsed the strategic document back in November 2017 at its ordinary meeting as detailed in the report. The document at the time gave a very quick overview about the consolidation of four major strategies within the organisation, or the Directorate specifically, and that related to disability, early years, youth and ageing. So there's been a fair amount of work to consolidate four individual plans into one strategic document, and Council endorsed that, as I said, at the meeting in November. What this is tonight is the action plan that the officers have been working on. At that meeting, we said we'd present that to you in February. And just to give you some background, this action plan is for 1 year only, and the next action plan will come up in the following year, and we'll report on the outcomes of that accordingly. The reason we're going 1 year at a time is this industry, as you well know, is very heavily focused on state government funding, federal government funding, and things change basically month to month as far as that goes. So we think we're best placed to provide you the most accurate information annually rather than give you a four-year plan. And some of these services will be different in 6 or 8 months' time than they are now. So really the themes, again, I'll just touch on those because it is important, of the document is being inclusive, being connected, being happy and healthy, being all you can be, and obviously being heard. The action plan, as I said, will come to the council each February of each calendar year. And it intends to have a collective, if you like, working group work on the themes or the actions or what we call the indicators or KPIs. A lot of this information will be translated into the officers' work plans and obviously my own. And what I'm keen to get out of this is some of these initiatives that are embedded into this is to get the council committees working on some of these with the officers, so they'll be tabled at some of the council committees. So I won't go into the 100 or 150 actions. That's the intent of the action plan. You will be going to read the appended document, although we did hand out an A3 last week for you. So really I'll be very quick, as I said, and I'll just put forward the action plan to be adopted, and that's the City of Melton All People. It is for the term of 17 to 21, but this is a one-year action plan as presented on page 56. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council require any further clarification?
Sorry, did Mr. Heaney just say Madam Mayor?
Mr. Mayor. I didn't say Madam Mayor. Apologies.
No stress.
That's where it killed.
So we're just testing everybody, that's right. I was more to see if these guys were awake. Well, no, the councillors are awake because they're really concentrating. They're concentrating so hard. Any councillor require further clarification? No. Can I have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move this notice of motion and congratulate our community members, council officers and councillors for a job well done.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor. I'd have a seconder for the motion.
I'll second that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Okay, very show hands. And all those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Get in trouble later if I didn't ask for that. 12.8. Planning Scheme Amendment C191, rezoning land from GRZ and PUZ4. To PUZ1.
Mr. Mayor, could I rise and ask that this notice of motion be put as the report is outlined as the recommendation.
Yep. So, moved by Councillor Mirlik. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Carley. Thank you. Moved by Councillor Mirlik. Seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. 12.9, planning application PA212017/5704, use and development land for telecommunications facility at 1219 Exford Road, Exford. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this application essentially proposes the construction of a telecommunication facility on land which has an area of just over 4 hectares, which is located on the north side of Exford Road, roughly opposite the Ainsbury Road intersection with that road. So the site at the moment is currently used and occupied by the Melbourne Runabout and Speedboat Club. The land also abuts the Melton Weir, and a recreation reserve which is owned by South West Water is located to the north and east of the site. It's worth noting that the land on the opposite side of the weir is being developed for residential purposes and contains the Waterford and Exford Waters estates. So, Mr. Mayor, the proposed telecommunications tower would have a height of just over 40 metres. The proposed facility would be owned and operated by Vodafone Hutchison Australia, and it's considered by the applicant that the facility is required to improve coverage for residential communities living within the Strathtulla and Waterviews suburbs, and the selected site is considered to be ideally located to service the coverage area which has been identified by the applicant. So the advertising of the application generated no objections. The properties that were notified were located within a 500 metre radius of the subject site, and there was also direct notification to the Exford Primary School, which is located on Exford Road, and as I mentioned, no objections have been received. Essentially, it's considered that the main planning issues that are relevant to the assessment of this application is the, I guess, the height and design of the proposed facility and the visual impact that it will have on existing and future residents, particularly in the Waterford and Exford Waters estates. Essentially, it's considered that the selected location would be within the vicinity of other buildings and structures, and also mature planted vegetation, which would assist in screening it from various vantage points. The applicant did provide a photo montage to demonstrate the potential view from the developing residential area to the east. And while it's clear that the proposed facility is significantly higher than the existing structures and trees around it, it's felt that the separation of the tower at about 400 to 500 metres from these areas helps to minimise its visual impact. It's also noted that there are no other existing telecommunication facilities within the immediate surrounding area, within the proposed coverage area which has been nominated. Also, that the applicant has outlined that the facility is to be operated in compliance with the mandatory standards for human exposure to electromagnetic radiation. And so, on that basis, Mr. Mayor, it's considered that the application should be supported and a planning permit issue as per the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do you have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, let
Councillor
me
Ramsey.
Everybody out of their misery. I hate telephone towers, but while Councillor Hardy's not here to give us half hour as to why not, radiation and everything else, I'd like to move this one.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'll second it.
Councillor Kesich seconded the motion. So moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Bushy, you keep doing that at the last minute.
Yeah,
Councillor Bushy, you oppose the motion?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Councillor Ramsey opens because she. Councillor Ramsey, you have the option to say a few words.
I'll reserve my right to speak till after I hear my fellow councillors.
Councillor Bushy.
Yeah, my I share similar views to that of Councillor Ramsey in telecommunication towers. Although there were no objections, I still feel that there should be other ways that municipalities should manage the telecommunication towers. I know it says that it complies with the council's communication infrastructure policy, but I know that if I went out the front of the Exford Primary School and spoke to those parents and those students, and especially the parents, and if they understood what was going there, I'm very sure that they would object.
Councillor Kissage.
The reason for my decision is because it is quite far away from houses and also from the school. People in Exford in the area, they need this coverage, and businesses as well. So that's the reason why I second it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kershkeshit. Does anyone else wish to speak against the motion?
Yes, not against, Mr. Mayor, although it pains me to have to say this because I myself am not a fan of telecommunications towers. However, in this particular case, not swayed, that's not the right word, but I was guided by my ward councillors in regards to this, and considering that there weren't any objections, and unfortunately it is an item that we use or we need, even though many of us hate the look of them, and you know there's still scepticism about the
radiation
that's coming out of it or not, or if it's not or if it is, there's a lot of debate around that, although it pains me to have to say that I was guided by the ward councillors in this particular case.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Does any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Councillor Medley, for putting all the blame on my shoulders. No.
Not at all, Madam.
No. When it comes down to it, how many people in the audience have a mobile phone? How many people don't appreciate it when you don't get good reception? When you don't get good reception. If I'm going to pick anywhere in Melton, I don't want to put it... I mean, there's a great big whopping one out the front of Woodgrove. There's tens of thousands of people that go there every day. There's one near the Waves. We have to be strategic about where we put these, and this is as far enough away from as many people as possible, so let's go forward and conquer.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. All those, put the motion now. All those in favour of the motion? All those against the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Can I call for a division, Mr. Mayor?
You can. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kissage, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Turner. All those against the motion? Councillor Debushi, I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey.
Before you move on to item 1212, I'd like to restate that I have an indirect conflict of interest by way of residential amenity section 78E, and I'll be departing the chambers now.
Mr. Mayor, I also have an indirect conflict of by way of section 78E for immediate amenity in the area.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Item 1212, plan application PA 2017/5568/1, development of 79 dwellings at 44 Coburn Road, Melton South. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This application represents a significant medium density housing development on a site which has an area of just over 2 hectares, which is located on the eastern side of Coburn's Road in Melton South. The site is, I guess, triangular in shape, but quite long and narrow, and is unusual in that it has frontage to Coburn's Road, a part frontage to the end of Austin Place, and also a frontage to Second Avenue. The adjoining area to the north contains two fairly significant medium-density housing developments on either side of Austin Place and access from that street. And the adjoining land to the south contains a residential subdivision known as Aisha Avenue, which contains 75 lots, which are largely vacant, but there are a number of dwellings that are that have been constructed or in the process of being constructed. So this application proposes the development of 79 dwellings and associated development on the land. It's noted that the applicant has recently lodged an appeal at VCAT against the council's non-determination of the application, and the matter has been listed for a directions hearing on the 23rd of this month to consider and determine the future direction of the application. So the proposed development is to be staged in 4 stages, with each stage containing 20 dwellings each. Stage one will be accessed from Coburn's Road. Stages 2 and 3 will be accessed from Austin Place, and stage 4 accessed from 2nd Avenue. All dwellings will be single storey with a mix of 2 bedrooms and mostly 2 bedrooms and 3 bedroom dwellings. The application was advertised and 2 objections were received. The grounds of objection mainly relate to concerns about increase in traffic created by the development, and also specific concerns about the entry and exit point on 2nd Avenue creating a traffic hazard. So from an officer perspective, it's believed that while the site is appropriate for some form of and lends itself to some form of medium density housing, this particular development in terms of the number of dwellings is considered to be too intensive for the site, and also fails to respect or complement the existing or preferred neighbourhood character of the area. The concern is that the built form of the proposed development is predominantly attached with little or no separation provided between the proposed dwellings, and provides insufficient opportunities for landscaping within the development. To consider that the proposal also essentially fails to provide suitable internal amenity to future residents of the proposed dwellings due to the lack of sufficient opportunities to accommodate landscaping within the front and rear yards of those dwellings. So, Mr. Mayor, it's therefore recommended that the council advise VCAT, the permit applicant, and the objectors that it would have issued a notice of refusal to grant a permit subject to the grounds listed in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bardew. Does any council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Just a question as to why this didn't come to council, because it seems like it's bypassed council and it's just gone straight to VCAT. I don't usually, well, I'm not familiar with items coming straight to us should it have gone to council. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I just...
Yes, thank you, Councillor.
Yeah.
So it would have come to council in any event, but the applicant has elected to appeal against what's known as failure to determine, given that the 60-day statutory period expired. So really this is a recommendation in terms of what to determine what the council stance is going to be at the VCAT hearing.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Bardew. Any other councillor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bardew, did anybody meet with the permit applicants? And if so, which officers and councillors were involved with that meeting?
There was a meeting which I attended with a number of councillors there and the applicants. I think you might have been there, Mr. Mayor, Councillor DeSantis. Maybe Councillor Mendes. I can't remember now exactly who was there. There were a number of councillors there in the mayor.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, is there any way we could find that out and have that noted on the report?
Yeah, we can do that. I'm sure.
Thank you.
Does any other council require clarification? The ghosts are back.
That's not Councillor Ramsey trying to get back in, is it?
Yeah, we're keeping that on, eh? Is any other council require any clarification? Can we move for the motion?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Move by Councillor Neelake. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'm happy to second it, Mr. Mayor. Carly. I was going to call you Madam Mayor. Sorry,
that's
Mr. Mayor.
That's all right. I'm saying nothing. Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? You sure, Mr. Fisher?
I'm a man of conviction, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, good man. All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. I suppose we should invite our fellow councillors back in again.
I thought we were. This one. This one. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor, can I ask for the recommendation or the motion, a motion to put this and the recommendation that we accept as outlined in this report?
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, are you sure? You can't go up that high. You second on the motion, Councillor Medlock?
I'm happy to second.
You haven't seconded. Moved by Councillor DeBushy, seconded by Councillor Medlock. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Oh, sorry, I'm catching up. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Item 12.14, Snake Removal Programme. Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report provides an update to Council on the trial snake removal program, which was initiated via a notice of motion from Councillor Carley in early 2016. The report sets out councillors a background as to the uptake of that trial program. It has been quite successful to date. In terms of activity during the 2017 year, there were 205 call-outs. And they obviously peaked during the really hot months, November through to February, on those hot, dry days. And approximately 47% of those calls resulted in the relocation of a snake from a private property. If I can refer councillors to the table at the bottom of page 162 and the following page, that sets out some high-level statistics as to the success of the visitations by the snake catcher to the properties, and the second part of the table on page 163 sets out, again at a high level, the suburbs where those call-outs were received, and you can see that they are pretty much across the entire geographic area of the municipality. Mr. Mayor, the cost of the program during the first year was in the order of $28,000, and this financial year the costs incurred have been around about $22,000. There's still some months to run in the summer hot period, so I'd expect that the total cost this financial year will extend to around about $30,000, which is consistent with our existing budget. Mr. Mayor, there's three options for Council which are detailed on page 164 going forward. first option is to commit to undertaking the program on an ongoing basis, and as I pointed out, it's been on a trial period for the last 2 years, but Council does have the option of committing to make it a permanent program. We can continue running the program until the end of this financial year and consider a permanent program as part of the current budget process deliberations, or alternatively, Council can cease to offer the snake removal program at the end of this financial year. Mr. Mayor, the recommendation put forward on page 162 is that Council make the program a permanent program available to all residents of the City of Melton. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any Council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if I may. How much would you need to be able to run the program until June 2018 so we can go through the budget process?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to date we've spent in the order of $22,000, and I expect we'd need another $8,000 or thereabouts to get us through to the end of this financial year, and we have that money allocated in the current budget.
So you had that money already?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
For this financial year, yes.
Any further clarification, councillors? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, and if I may say a few words if it's carried, but I'd like to move the recommendation that the snake removal program be approved as a permanent service for residents of the City of Melton.
Moved by Councillor Carley.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move a slight amendment that the snake removal program be approved as a permanent service for the residents of the City of Melton, but two, that it be also referred to the 18-19 budget. Well, you can delete the word permanent for now, but refer it to.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder to Councillor Ramsey's alternate motion?
Sorry, just point of order, Mr. Mayor. Does Councillor Carley accept that amendment from Councillor Ramsey?
Councillor Carley, do you accept that amendment?
No, I don't,
you
Mr.
don't.
Mayor.
Okay, well, we're going to debate. The seconder for the motion. We need a seconder for the motion.
I'm happy to second Councillor Carley's notice of motion.
No, we have not
for the amendment, yes, yeah, sorry.
Not for the amendment.
Do I seconder for the amendment? First. Motion seconded by Councillor Medlick. Now we need a seconder for... No, we don't. Okay, debate. Debate's on. Councillor Ramsey. Oh, sorry, Councillor Carey, you're first dibs.
Sorry, Mr. Tory speaking, so
Councillor Ramsey, you're moving an amendment to the motion. So we need a seconder for Councillor Ramsey's amendment to the motion. Do we have a seconder for Councillor Ramsey's amendment to the motion?
Yes, I'm happy to second that motion.
I would like to second. Oh, sorry, I apologise. Please do. Please do.
So do I start first?
Councillor Kessler just seconded the motion. Correct. The amendment to the motion. Councillor Ramsey.
I actually commend Councillor Carley on the snake trial. I think it's been a huge success, and one of the opposers initially to it, I have been floored by the amount of social media and attention it got to it. It was one of the highest, so all applause and kudos to you, Councillor Carley, on the extent that when I see numbers like 46 and 47 and other fall, I don't object to it becoming a permanent service. But like the notice of motion you yourself, Mr. Mayor, moved, that we were going to take everything to the budget and allow the budget to determine the priorities. At the end of the day, this, again, is one of those. Just like the toilet block that was within the, you know, it wasn't in the scope of the works, but it was within the savings. Just like Councillor Mendez's grants program, there's been a number of notices of motion, and we have all, as a gentleman's agreement, moved them to the budget. I wholeheartedly support this program, and during the budget I see no problem in supporting it, but in this regard, I want to be as open and transparent and allow all, you know, all initiatives, all programs to have the full discussion and wait at that time.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Kesich.
I'm satisfied with what Councillor Ramsey said, and I stand. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other councillor wish to speak against the motion?
Yes.
Against the amendment, sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah, I'll allow Councillor
Carley
to go.
Councillor
Carley. Thank you. Mr. Mayor, firstly, can I say thank you to Councillor Ramsey, but like she stated in the same breath that she actually supports this program, so she doesn't see why it wouldn't continue. So what would be the difference if we actually locked it in and made it a permanent service? I believe our residents deserve it. It's been a successful program. We pay high rates here, and I think a service has been so supported by our residents and popular should definitely be a permanent service. And if I could just speak, Mr. Mayor, in regards to your notice of motion, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it did say somewhere along the lines that all councillors could be referred to the budget. However, all councillors must agree. There was, if I could have some clarification on that, so that wasn't necessarily there was something along those lines.
If I might, Mr. Mayor, I did have a proviso, unless all councillors agree otherwise. So it must be referred to the budget unless it's unanimous amongst councillors.
That's correct. Okay, where am I now?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to just reiterate the gist that I was feeling from councillors is that it is a great service, and I have to admit that I believe it's a fantastic service. Looking at the numbers here, Caroline Springs, number of call-outs 40, Melton South 34. I'm surprised with these numbers, but I'm also glad that we've got a service like this. And I do believe, I understand what Councillor Ramsey is saying, that we should refer all projects and all initiatives, new initiatives, to the budget. However, I do believe and I do recall that there was a proviso in your notice of motion, Mr. Mayor, that that all projects to go to the budget for deliberation unless all councillors agree. Now, I believe I took that as under special circumstances it can be accepted as is. Now, I feel I'd be surprised if any councillor was, you know, objective of the actual SNAKE program. It is already in place. It does have legs, so to speak. It does already have the funding to get to the end of the budget. So why should we confuse our residents again and say, oh, it might not, because there's a possibility that it might not get up, and then to say, yeah, it did get up. So it's kind of giving our residents, you know, we did so much work to let them know about this program, to now let it be iffy and in the air is a bit, we're kind of, you know, contravening our good work that we've done. So I believe let's just get this done. Let's put it across the line. If all the councillors agree that it's a fantastic service, which I believe we are saying, there's proviso in Mr. Mayor's a previous notice of motion that allows us to do that on special circumstances. And I believe this is a special circumstance, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. We've got to vote on the... Councillor Ramsey, you can finish up, yeah.
Thank you. I respect what everybody has said to me, and again, I will say that I think it's a fantastic program, but like all good initiatives, needs to go to the budget. There's $8,000, as was clarified in the budget, to let it run till June 2018, so our residents are safe. There's no flip-flopping, there's no fear amongst them. This service will continue until 2018, and it will go to the budget like every other good initiative. It will be open and transparent and discussed with the priorities then. It is a great initiative, yes, but there is a ruling there that all... Because, I mean, it was really easy for us for 6 months to bring initiatives to the chamber, get them, and not respect the budget process. So Mr. Mayor at the time brought it through, and so at the end of the day, sorry, Councillor Carley, I had...
Councillor Ramsey.
I believe wholeheartedly that the process should be respected. Great program. All kudos to Councillor Carley. There's money in the budget currently, and let it find its way in the budget like everything else, and I'm sure it will be successful.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Time to vote. All those in favour of the motion? The amendment to the motion, yeah. Come. All those against? I declare the motion carried. The amendment carried.
Mr. Mayor, I call for a division.
Division call? Yeah. For the amendment motion. Those in favour of the amendment? Councillor Mendez, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kissich, Councillor Turner. All those against the amendment? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Ramsey. Oh, sorry. Oh, jeez. Councillor Melix, okay, got it. Councillor Ibushi. And I declare it carried with my casting vote. Now, we put the amendment as the motion.
Yep, I understand that, Mr. Mayor, but could I say a few words, like I said at the start, if I may? I asked if I could say a few words.
Yes. Short, make it short, please.
I will. I'll make it very short. When Councillor Ramsey speaks about open and transparent council, what a better way to be open and transparent than in front of members of our gallery? When we're talking about budget deliberations, that's done behind closed doors. So they're two totally different things. And I still don't understand why, if it's a great project, why we can't just continue on with it. And I have to say, Mr. Mayor, I'm really disappointed because I think it's just a bit of political pulling here and game pulling. We're using our residents and it's not right, and I have to fully agree with what Councillor Madelick said. We've got the program established, residents know about it, it's got the most shares, and here we are saying, well, we're not sure if it's going to go ahead or not, because we don't know anything until we have our budget deliberations, even though Councillor Ramsey has said that it is going to. We can't predetermine a decision. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm really disappointed, but could I just say firstly thank you to the councillors who originally did support this great program.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Now we'll put the amendment as the motion. All those in favour of Councillor Ramsey's motion? All those against?
Could I call for a division, Mr. Mayor?
I declare the motion carried.
And Mr. Mayor, can I say a few words as well, please?
Mr. Mayor, may called.
Sorry. I'll let you speak.
You called the division.
I did, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey, all those in favour of the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Ibushi, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Kissich, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried.
May I speak? Couple of minutes, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to clarify why I've now put my hand up for when I was against with the alternate.
I don't know. You voted.
No. I wanted to clarify that to the audio.
I'll make it really short.
Yeah, I will.
It's time's moving on.
Because I didn't want my residents to think, because once they see the alternate, I don't want them to think that I was against the snake catching program. So I want to make sure, even though I'm not happy that we didn't decide or not now, that it has to still wait until...
Well, make sure it stays in the
I wanted to make sure that it does still stay in the program.
For the record, Councillor Ibushi feels the same way.
I'm sure we all do. Thank
and
you.
So do I, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Carley.
Mr. Mayor, point of order, please.
Let's move on.
No, not at all.
Councillors, please.
Meeting procedure.
Item 12.15, International Women's Day 2018. Ms. Daniel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council on and seek approval for an amount for the guest speaker for International Women's Day 2018. International Women's Day is a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural and political achievements of women. Started by the suffragettes in the early 1900s, the first International Women's Day was celebrated in 1911. International Women's Day is celebrated annually on March 8. This year's global theme is Press for Progress, progress in relation to gender parity, including, amongst other things, equal pay. Council provides an event to mark the day for the community. An event is also organised by and for the staff.
In addition, last year and 2 years prior, the then mayor invited guests to join her for an afternoon tea to mark the occasion. Last year's event included senior female students from secondary colleges within the municipality who were invited to partner with adult female guests as a mentoring opportunity. Following on from that event, Council resolved at its ordinary meeting held on the 3rd of April 2017 to add this mayoral event to mark International Women's Day to its annual events calendar, and that a budget provision of $10,000 with an additional allocation for a guest speaker be included in the 17-18 budget. Council further resolved at the ordinary meeting on the 16th of October 2017 that prior to a guest speaker being engaged for the Council International Women's Day event, a report be presented to Council for approval of any proposed speaker. Thus, this report, Mr. Mayor. The theme proposed for this year's mayoral event is Melton Women, Past, Present and Future. The event is proposed to have speakers representing each limb, past, present and future, with a very local feel. In relation to the past, the historians who have been working with Council on its publication of the history of Melton are proposed to speak about prominent Melton women from the past. In relation to present, it is proposed that the Woman of the Year, recently announced at Australia Day, Jane Sultana, be asked to speak. And in relation to the future, it is proposed that one or possibly two inspiring young women with a connection to our municipality be sought out and asked to speak. None of these speakers are professional speakers as per se, and as such would not demand a high fee. The fee for the historians with two people is estimated to be a maximum of $2,000, including research time. In relation to the Melton Woman of the Year and the young person, perhaps a sportswoman, it is envisaged there would be a small fee and or a donation in lieu to a charity of that person's choice. Accordingly, an allowance of up to $5,000 is the recommendation to cover all speakers, with a report to come back to Council with on the ultimate fees after the event, which is to be held on March 9. The allowance mentioned in this report, together with the $10,000, are both items in the current 2017-18 budget. In terms of risk analysis, if Council were to not approve of the $5,000, the historians would be unable to speak. That would be not allowable within the $10,000 operational budget, and the other two women would therefore be asked to speak at no cost, which it is noted is against the whole theme and spirit of International Women's Day. So Council has the options to approve of the allowance of $5,000 for the guest speakers in line with the recommendation on page 165 of the report, or approve of allowance for a lesser amount for the guest speakers, or indeed not approve any amount for the guest speakers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel. Does any Councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to second it. Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, may I address the Chamber for a minute, please?
Half a minute, Councillor Ramsey.
I think I'm allowed 1 minute, but that's okay, Mr. Mayor. I'll go by your ruling.
Mr. Mayor, can I speak too after Councillor Ramsey?
Yes, you can.
30 seconds,
you
yes.
You can have 30 seconds as well.
I wholeheartedly support this initiative as initially it was mine. I copped a beating over it being 20,000 prospective. It actually came in at just over 16,000. I think this is a wonderful day. It also marks Councillor Madelick's Woman of the Year, and it'll be great to hear her speak. So International Women's Day may hopefully live on in the City of Melton for a long, long time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Madelick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to say that it's great that we
that council has finally decided on the budget amount, and we would have saved ourselves a lot of grief in the past if that was just done in the start. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Okay, moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Medley. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
No,
I've done all that.
Kesich.
Oh, sorry, Kesich. Were you talking? You threw me. Seconded by Kerry, we've done all that. Okay. The motion's been carried, we were just talking about. Okay, moved on to item number 13, reports from delegates, reports of appointed delegates and also council representation. Councillor Bushy.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, I'll just go to that section on this device. Mr. Mayor, on Tuesday the 23rd of January, I was invited to Woodley to meet with Claire and Jono as the new additions to the Community Development Placemaker team, which is a fantastic initiative being driven by Woodley and the community. Friday the 26th of January, I had the opportunity and honour to welcome nearly 173 new Australians to our great nation and to the city of Melton. It was also great to celebrate the 2018 Community Achievement Award winners, especially to our Citizen of the Year, Mr. John Bentley, for his outstanding contribution to our municipality. On Monday the 29th of January, I attended the turning of the sod to mark the start of the development works at the CS Square. Shopping centre will see new retail stores, additional parking and a new parents' room. We're still working on that Kmart thing, but we'll keep plugging away with their property team. I'm sending them petitions and the like, but, you know, we'll see what that does. Great news for the community in the Eastern Corridor, as we're seeing, you know, substantial growth, you know, on many fronts. This is good news for us in the Eastern Corridor anyway. On Wednesday 31st, I attended the CS Rotary meeting and had a unique opportunity to hear from an African community leader by the name of Mamadou and hear about his journey to Australia from Senegal and his incredible work with young people in our community. Mr. Mayor, you were there. It was fantastic to hear from him and the great work they do, as well as Councillor Maidlick was there. Mamadou is seeking support of councils and is able to come out and assist with any issues within particular African communities. He's very experienced. He's come from a very traumatic and challenging upbringing. He understands what it's like to have hardship, and he's run a number of successful programs, specifically within the African community, within the Flemington public housing high-rises there. And runs a number of programs, including language programs and behaviour management programs, which is fantastic. And that's it from me, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Medley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the Professional Development Reference Group at MAV, and most of the discussion was around the future of the Diploma of Local Government. In the Disability Advisory Committee, we had an update on the Pride of Melton Concept Plan, Stages 4 and 5, which consists of the redevelopment of Wallace and Bakery Square. There were congratulations all around for one of our Disability Advisory Committee members, Leslie, for winning the Access and Inclusion Leader of the Year during the Australia Day celebrations, and it was a very well-deserved win. I also attended, on behalf of the Mayor, the Ravenhall Remand Centre Annual Art Competition, as well as the Caroline Springs Library Art Exhibition entitled Who Is Your Neighbour? By local Melton South artist Linda Ablett. I attended the Diggers Rest official opening of the medical and dental facility or centre with yourself, Mr. Mayor, and what a fantastic facility that's going to provide for the residents of Diggers Rest, a much needed facility. I also attended the Preventing Violence Against Women Breakfast Forum for a very short time. We had a great representation of women and some men together to focus on our media and communications strategy for preventing violence against women. Can I also just remind everyone that Somersault in Caroline Springs will be on this Saturday, so please come one and all. It is a fantastic event. Looking forward to that. And also, can I finally say a huge congratulations and best wishes to all of our Australian athletes who are going to compete in the upcoming Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. I don't know if I said that right, this week, but a special mention to our own Lydia Larsila, who we know as a former Diggers Rest resident. Lydia will become Australia's first female winter athlete to compete in five Olympic Games. This is a fantastic achievement as a female and also as a mother, and such a positive role to all our residents, all our female residents, especially us mums. It's a reminder that anything is possible, and she is definitely breaking down stereotypes and mindsets across the world. And therefore, Mr. Mayor, I would like to move a notice of motion that Council writes to Lydia Larsila, wishing her all the very best for the 2018 Winter Olympics at Pyeongchang.
Mayor, we'll deal with your notice of motion later.
I'd like to second that notice.
Well, we can do that right now, Councillor Medlick.
We can't.
Have a second. Pardon?
We can't do that.
We can.
Okay. I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Member Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Well
done. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just for the record, could I ask for a division, please?
Division called by Councillor Medlick. All those in favour? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kissich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Ibushi, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. Councillor Kissich.
Mr. Mayor, I was most of my time since New Year's Eve away from Victoria and been overseas, so nothing else to add.
Hope you had a good holiday. Councillor Ramsey.
I would like to say Happy New Year to everybody. I also want to congratulate all our successful Civic Pride winners at the Australia Day, and acknowledge once again the fabulous Alan Perry, who did an outstanding job during his term as Citizen of the Year. To John Bentley, to Leslie Jenner, to Jan Sultana, and all the others that were there. There was, as Councillor Ibushi said, there was close to 170 residents from 140 different nationalities. And our CEO did a wonderful job pronouncing all the names. So I reckon he deserves a round of applause. Well done. The Gold Cup on Sunday was absolutely sensational, except it was won by Brett Jenkins from Queensland? Or Brett Lewis from Queensland. And so next year we've got to get a Melton boy in. The Gold Cup created quite a lot of coverage for the Melton Council, and there were thousands of people there. I look forward to seeing everybody at the Somersault Festival this weekend, and also, again, well done to the international for this council hosting another International Women's Day and having that almost galvanised into their events calendar. I also, to the Chamber, would like to welcome back Anne Fairweather. It's been sad without you. I hope a speedy recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Mendes.
I also attended Australia Day, and I'd actually like to mention the colours and the contribution that the residents made to the City of Melton that day, and the wonderful celebration from some of our community members as their relatives were successful in becoming Australian citizens. I'm not quite sure whether they were war cries or celebrations, but they were fantastic to watch as many of us took photos, and I think some members of the community actually joined in with the celebrations. Something that the fellow councillors haven't mentioned is the mural that we've actually created in the town centre here in Melton, representing the Pinkerton Forest. I think it's an absolute credit to the City of Melton, and the council staff have gained a grant to do that work, and I hope that we all watch for the wonderful artwork that's going to take place in the next few months in the laneway around near the Westpac Bank here in Melton. And I think it's great, after many years of that lane way not being something that any of us wanted to walk through, the fact that it had just disgusting odour and just poor representation, that we are using our local artists to turn it into something brilliant that we can all be proud of. I also went to the CS Square opening, and I think it's fantastic for Caroline Springs to finally have an extension to their shopping centre that we can all be proud of. And then yesterday, for the second time, for something that I once probably wouldn't have seen myself at, was the Gold Cup and boat racing. But thanks to my nephew, I think I'm actually well attuned into the whole running of a boat race and all the regulations and laws that go with it. So hopefully I'll be there again next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 23rd of January, on the Tuesday, I attended the Woodley meeting of the community development team there. I'd like to thank Woodley and their team for making us feel very welcome, and to welcome Claire and John aboard the Woodley team. That was a fantastic day. Monday, the 29th of January, I attended the Caroline Springs Square, the opening turning of the sod for Lend-Lease, which was fantastic. Good news. Sunday, the 4th of February, yesterday, I attended the Melton Gold Cup. I'm still having problems hearing because of the loud noise from the boat, so excuse me if I haven't said too much tonight. And that was at the Mountain Reservoir at Exford, and that was a fantastic day, and it was great to know that all donations went directly to Beyond Blue. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Carly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, on the 26th of January, I attended also Australia Day at the Willows, welcoming 173 new residents to our wonderful city. I would like to say I would have liked to have seen Australia Day being held at the Moreton Homestead, but unfortunately the majority of my councillors didn't agree with me to hold it up in Taylor's Hill. On the 29th of January, I attended also the turning of the sod at Caroline Spring Square, and can I say how much I enjoyed the setup and seeing the photos of the development of Caroline Springs. I hadn't seen what it looked like before it started to how it is now and how it's going to be after the expansion. I think that was wonderful to see. The 4th of February, I popped into Hillside Rec Reserve. Sydenham Hillside Cricket Club were hosting a Pink Stumps fundraiser to raise money for the McGrath Foundation. So that was a really successful afternoon, and I don't know exactly how much they raised, but I can say it was four digits, they said. So well done to Sydenham Hillside Cricket Club.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, before you begin, please, greatest apologies. I meant to move a notice of motion whilst during my delegate's report to acknowledge Colleen Hartland's retirement and send her a letter from the Mayor and Council appreciative of the work that she has done for this Council and others within her time in office.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder for the motion? Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder for the motion to send a thanks to Councillor Mendes? You wish to second the motion? Thank you. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion? Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion?
Not that I oppose the motion, but I can say in 5 years of being on this council, I've never seen Colleen Hartland at any council events. So that's just me personally. So I don't know exactly what we'd be thanking her for.
She has met with previous mayors at different times and advocated for interface on different issues, Councillor Carley, and she has been out to Melton. But I don't know.
Let's move on, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion?
Sorry, what was that?
All those in favour of the motion?
Out of respect.
I declare the motion carried. We have called for the division of Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kissich, Councillor Midlick, Councillor Abushi, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. We're getting there. My turn. I'll just go through most of the stuff we've all been involved in. The opening of Diggers Rest Medical Centre, fantastic news for Diggers Rest. Meeting the people that were involved on the day, it seems to be a very good team, family adventure, if you like. I believe it was to be opened by three partners, and two of the partners pulled out, and one of the partners carried on with his wife and new partners, and it looks like a great development out there, something that was badly needed in Diggers Rest, so I take my hat off to them. Caroline Springs, the turn of the sword for the extension to the shopping centre, badly needed out there, so that's another fantastic great news for our municipality. Australia Day celebrations, with somebody said 173, couldn't remember the number. It was great to see everybody having a great day. The weather was fantastic and everybody had a ball. Thanks to the Rotaries as well in the morning for doing the breakfast. And yesterday, the Gold Cup, we couldn't ask for a better day. The weather was fantastic, not too hot. As long as you had your sunscreen on, you might not carry a hat as well. I got into trouble for that one. But yeah, it was a good day. The weather was fantastic and everybody had a great time. We'll move on to notices of motion. Notice of motion 15.1, Councillor Medlick.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to seek leave of council to amend notice of motion 534.
You wish to read out the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move an amended notice of motion that council officers prepare a report to consider 1, a community educational and awareness campaign around council's local law educating residents in the mandatory use of carrying appropriate canine waste bags or a receptacle, as well as the mandatory use of dogs on leads when walking in public areas within our municipality. This may include, but not limited to, an increase in public signage, media releases, the campaign being highlighted on Council's website and Facebook page, portable handheld microchip reader to better identify dog owners who are not complying, mailouts that may include a one-off free doggy bag and container for all dog owners registered with Council, etc. Number 2, increasing local law presence in public areas within our municipality to ensure residents are being responsible pet owners when walking their dog and complying with the local law by placing a lead on their dog and carrying appropriate waste bags / receptacles. And 3, any costs for the campaign to be considered in the 2018-19 budget deliberations.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I'm really happy to second this one.
Alternative motion moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 15.2, Councillor Mendez.
I move a motion that Council urgently write to the Regional Manager of the Department of Education requesting they meet with a small group of concerned parents in relation to the managing of the new, relation to the naming of the new school in Fraser Rise as Springside West, or at least provide details of the rationale for overriding the school council's preferred name.
Thank you, Councillor Mendez. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that.
Could I seek clarification, Mr. Mayor?
You can seek clarification.
Under the small group of concerned parents, would we include the members of the school council as well in that?
Yes, both parents that are within the school council and outside the school council have raised concerns, so it's becoming quite a topic of conversation.
Does any other councillor require clarification? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, has Councillor Mendez met with the concerned parents, and have they notified our local state member, the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, member for Sydenham?
I have met with a number of the parents who have approached me over the recent months, and I'm not sure whether they've met with Natalie Hutchins, because it's my understanding now that it would probably be Marlene Caroots that they would have to meet with. I'm not quite sure about that, but I'd seek clarification on that matter.
Thank you. Any other clarification? Moved by Councillor Mendez, seconded by Councillor Bushy. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 15.3, Councillor Bushy. Notice of motion 536.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
I move that Council write to the Minister for Public Transport and request that Transport for Victoria review as a matter of urgency bus connections for school students accessing the recently opened Springside West Secondary College.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Does any Councillor require any clarification?
No, but I'm happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
No clarification. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Mielik. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Councillors, questions without notice? Motions without notice. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that Council officers give a brief report on the status of the Toolan Park, a state government funded initiative. Thank you.
Is that in future or today?
Motion
you put the motion up, yeah. Okay. Moved by Councillor.
No.
Lies on the table, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Urgent business.
Mr. Mayor, sorry, I've also got a motion without notice.
Councillor Bushy.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, that Council officers investigate additional parking options around the Coroit Creek Primary School area and report to Council.
Thank you. Any more motions without notice? Urgent business. No urgent business. Item number 19.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that pursuant to Section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated in items 19.1, 19.2, 19.3 and 19.4 as outlined.
Thank you. And thank the gallery for attending tonight. Please feel free to sign in by Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Mielik, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Feel free to help yourself to some refreshments. Councillors will be out shortly. Okay, sorry. All those in favour of the motion?
Mr. Mayor.
Carried.
A bit rusty after the holidays.